Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host. I am here, and you are listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues. In our 21st year of radio, we are inviting you, our listeners, to be angels and sponsors and to bring new people into the fold, so to speak, in your neighborhood. If you have any ideas or you want to get a hold of a guest or a staff, call us at our new toll-free number, 866-604-9966. That's 866-604-9966. Or send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And to get things started off, let's remember what our forefathers offered us. It's called the Pledge of Allegiance. So put your hand over your heart, and here are the words. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and in 1984 I carried the Olympic torch. And if you ever picked up an Olympic torch or another torch, you'll know you actually can't put it down. Today I'm actually going to invite you to light your torch and join the standards held forth by all bearers of this 2,000-year-old flame, Citius Altius Fortius, swifter, higher, stronger. And with that conversation in mind, we've always had guests of that caliber on Waking Up in America, from internationally known nutritionist to J.J. Virgin to the very solar Mr. Larry Hagman, taekwondo champion Mary Louise Zeller, and Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network, who says we are doing radio, which will change the world. Help us make that true by letting your friends know about us. Visit our site and sign up for our newsletter, which gives you information on our sponsors and lets you know what's up and the coming guests. Also, we've got a doozy of a video library out there. If you want to laugh a lot or hear some really amazing conversations, check into the video library at wakingupinamerica.com. You'll be really glad that you did. You can also get pictures of what our guests look like and all that kind of good stuff. We call in from our homes and offices all over the United States to cause this program. And the rant for today is the myth of aging and what it does it take to make a champion. According to the rules, we have a champion, Mary Louise Zeller, who's joined us today. She's recently taekwondo champion of the world for the, as somebody cleverly put it, the umpteenth time, and started this process at when she was 45 years old, an age way too old, everybody knows is way too old to be a champion. So we're going to be talking about that today, and we're really privileged to have Gail Ellen, who worked with Peter Uberoff in the 84 Olympics, and Gail has had her ears glued to the Olympic conversation, and she's great. And Gail, I think it was 2004, what was it, like September maybe or October, when we actually interviewed Misty May for this interview.
Right.
Do you remember?
That's right.
Yeah, something like that. So this has been very special. So Gail and Mary Louise.
Yes.
Just so glad you're here on Waking Up in America.
I am glad to be here. Always love to inspire. I say that's my job in life, is to inspire people to greatness, no matter what their age.
Yeah, well, you certainly are a living, talking, breathing, walking example of that. It's absolutely terrific. And Gail, I always put you in charge of beauty and protocol, and I always appreciate the fact that you were a 1984 Olympic organizer. Is that the right word for you?
I was part of that whole big team that occurred in Los Angeles in those years, 1984. And I have to say that Beijing has built on the shoulders of everything else that was successful in the Olympics, and I think this Beijing Olympics has been the most extraordinary Olympics of all time. And everything that's happened here, all the records that have been broken, the absolute presentation of everything, the grace of it, the detail of it, the athletes, everything about it is, and I'm going to use Mark Spitz's words here, epic.
Yeah. Try the opening ceremony for starters.
Really?
What follows next? There's been some interesting judging incidences that have come along that I'm sure will be worked on for the next Olympics. It's really interesting because from my own thing, I saw a situation in which I felt this wouldn't, that a gold medal should have been shared, and rather than a tie-breaking thing. And I saw
I saw that, and that was something that looked like it was being made up on the spot.
Yeah,
and all of those things will be evaluated at a later time, and sometimes that happens in sports.
Yeah, but what was interesting, Gail and Mary Louise, when I talked to people about it, and you know what they would tell me in one of the events, they say, well, the Chinese should have won. And I said, aren't the Olympics about being a superior good sport, you know, about in a particular sport? And they said, well, yeah, but subliminally, the Olympics are also about being cheerful and smiling. And the Chinese woman was more cheerful and smiling. And had this woman been a judge, she actually would have given it to her based on that she was smiling more. So maybe as we're looking at what makes up a champion, maybe sometimes we get robbed what we deserve because of our attitudes. I mean, how important is attitude to you, Mary Louise, for instance?
Valerie, I was most impressed. I saw that too. I tend to get a little self-righteous if I just looked at technique, and I'm not an expert in gymnastics by any stretch of the imagination. But she did, the American Nastia Lukin did make fewer mistakes.
Yeah.
And I love boxing, and I watched boxing matches where the judging, I thought, was prejudicial.
Right.
But the thing that, and you know, I have been competing many, many years now, and there have been times when the prejudice has gone towards me.
Absolutely, and I think that this is really important for people to understand that maybe everything that happened, that a champion would have to be able to handle something that might be considered unfair.
Yeah, what I was most impressed with was how gracious people were in the face of injustice, that they did, it might have been a bitter pill, but they did swallow it, and Nastia did muster the smiles at the end. While it was happening, there was like, oh my gosh, what just happened? What's
right.
going on? You know, and that kind of confusion and upset. But then they get out of it, and they go right back to the gracious, really big sport, you know, that they gave it up. I watched them do it. That's what I was left with and what I was most
Yeah, and I was, about. So I'm going to say, and I think, you know, Gail, you might comment too, but it seems to me that a champion, and which we're going to find out about Misty Meehan and her partner, Carrie, that they actually have to go through some bad moments. Like there was a point at which it looked like they were going to lose a match. And if you talk to Misty May, she will tell you that she saw that as an opportunity. So those are things that we can take a look at about part of the characteristic of a champion. Now, you've been looking at a lot of champions, Gail.
Well, I have, and the two things I want to point out regarding that is when you are an elite athlete, there are ways of being that are extraordinary that you certainly would...
And expected, by the way, too.
And expected. And the other thing I do want to point out, though, with regard to that split medal situation, is that some of those judges were inexperienced judges. And some of those judges were judges that from countries that have never received a gold medal. So we need to look at who was judging and how they were judging. However, what's done is done. It's done. There were no complaints filed, and I have to stand by what Mary Louise said.
Well, you know what's really interesting? Because the way they actually broke the tie was they took the events, which made sense, and she was actually one percentage point less than the other one on if they averaged them all. You know how they throw one out? And
yes.
So when they averaged them all, the other woman was actually 1 point higher. So that was why there was no thing. So it actually, the point I want to make is...
It was again a 1-100.
Pardon?
It was again a 1-100.
No, it was actually a 1-1,000.
Yeah.
There was a 1-1,000 separation between the people, the person that won and the person that lost. And I'm going to say that that is about as small as you can get. So, yes, a random thought, a resentment. I saw the Russian gymnast go 1 year, and I went, oh, this woman, I don't even know how she got here. She was so angry all the time. So what I'm seeing is that one of the characteristics of a champion would be to be able to pass through. The way you said it was so good, Mary Louise. Say it again.
Well, it's like you just you just give up the individual affront and go for graciousness. You go for the bigness.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we all, if we want to be champions in our lives, I think we all have to reach that level in our lives, period. So what would be the highest thought? You know, I think we should play a little Misty May. What do you think? Time to bring it on, I think.
Good morning.
Hi. 2004 Allen. Olympic gold medalist.
This is Gail Ellen. Hello. Misty, you're on with Dr. Valerianne Kirkgaard. Dr. Kirkgaard is the host of Waking Up in America, and she actually was the Olympic torchbearer in 1984 Games in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And I'm Gail Ellen. I actually was on staff with Mr. Ubaroth for the 1984 Games.
Oh, okay.
So we have a nice synergy here.
Right.
Dr. Kirkgaard, Misty May, along with her partner Carrie Walsh, are the 2004 gold medal winning team who are the best beach volleyball team in the world. And Misty is the number one ranked player in the world. And Misty, this Olympic experience must have been a dream come true for you.
Oh, it is. You know, I participated in the Sydney 2000 Games. And came up a little short. We placed fifth. Carrie also played in Sydney in the indoor games, and they placed fourth. So definitely this was a much different experience, standing on the top of the podium as opposed to watching from the grandstands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't trade anything for it. And we're still, you know, it's still a high for us. We're still, you know, staying super busy, and we still haven't had enough time to really, you know, to ourselves to kind of figure out, hey, what did we just do?
Well, you actually addressed something that I was going to ask you. How did you meet Carrie? Did you meet her at the Sydney Olympics?
You know, we've known each other for us. Everybody always, like, we have a junior club ball system indoor here in the U.S., and everybody plays growing up. So both of us started when we were about 10 years old. And so you know, it's, for as many people that play volleyball, it's such a small community. We, you know, our parents, you get to know the parents. You see each other every weekend. So growing up, you see each other either at club ball or high school volleyball, and then we saw each other in college.
Your parents, Misty, they had a great influence. Your dad was a member of the 1968 men's national volleyball team.
Right.
And your mom was an athlete, a ranked tennis player, and a
right.
volleyball coach.
Yeah.
So both, they must have influenced you greatly.
Both my parents, yeah, are great athletes. And, you know, my dad still helps us every now and then, now that he's retired. But, you know, from them, they just let me play every sport. So I think a lot of people think they pushed me into volleyball. And volleyball was just something I picked by myself, but I was able to participate in everything. You know, my mom would always tell me, even if, you know, I was playing tiddlywinks or something, they'd still be happy for me. So, you know, sports was always a big part of my life, and just being able to carry that on, and hopefully one day, you know, I'll do the same for my children.
That's perfect. I was reading about how you wear an angel tattoo on your arm, and it made me very emotional.
Ugh.
Because my mom died in 2003, and I actually took her to China, and I sprinkled some of her at the foot of Buddha, and I put some of her in the sea where the dolphins play, and I understand you've been sharing your mom with the world, too.
Yeah, I have, shortly after she died, I have a tattoo on my lower back. It's a Roman numeral 5, which is my favorite number and my number that got retired in high school. I mean, not in high school, in college. And it has my grandmother's initials in there, my mom's mom. And then when my mom passed away, I put angel wings with my mom's initials, so she's always looking over my shoulder. But we did. My dad brought some of her over to Athens, so she was there with me. And I left her in Athens, a little part of her in Athens, and then just recently we finished up with a tournament in Hawaii, and my dad's from Hawaii, and we took her over and had a little ceremony and left some more of her over there.
I just wanted to ask you if you have any more of her left and any other plans.
Oh, I made sure that I kept some because I would like to have her here in my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful. Misty, there, you have a very calm, collected, kind of all-business demeanor on the court, and you're looked at as the defender and the shot maker. Is that your sort of role as the other team member?
Not necessarily. You know, we do everything, but that's how I carry myself. Off the court, it's much different. I'm pretty goofy, and, you know, I have my own personality and do my own thing. But, you know, once the whistle blows, it's like I go into competition mode. I'm very serious.
Right.
And, tend to, you know, a lot of people kind of stay away because they don't, they think that I'm, you know, serious or I intimidate them, and then they get to know me, and they're like, oh, you're nothing like we thought, and... but, you know, that's what makes Carrie and I'm a very good team. She's more of that outspoken, like, rah-rah cheerleader, fiery personality, and I'm more of the calm, like you said, the calm, kind of you don't know what I'm thinking.
Right.
Type.
I know you won 89 consecutive matches until your abdominal tear, and I also have heard stories that you have walked around with ice on your joints after matches. How did you know, first of all, it must have been kind of disappointing to give up your 90th game. How did that tear occur, and how do you handle recovery from these injuries?
You know, I've had, in Sydney, I also had a sport hernia. It always happens on my left side, so I don't know, you know, kind of what's going on with my body to always have my left abdominals always get pulled or torn. In college, my sophomore year, I tore my PCL, and I had that replaced about 3 years ago.
I'm sorry, what is the PCL?
My posterior cruciate ligament in my left knee.
Oh, got it.
I don't know if that, you know, if, you know, you get something fixed, it might be a little tighter. I don't know if it's throwing something off, but, you know, we're going to try to figure it out. But the ice on the joints is more, I think, preventative. Just from a lot of jumping and whatnot, you just want to ice your body down so that you don't get inflamed from overuse. So you can tend to get a lot of overuse injuries. But yeah, the ab muscle, you know, I came back, a lot of people doubted I would make it back to the Olympics, and I assured people, you know, I'll be fine, and took the right road. You know, I stopped playing because I needed to. I started rehabbing, and I was rehabbing at least 2 or 3 times a day, and I made it back.
Now, the two of you were the darlings of Athens Games. They say that you were photographed more than Paris Hilton. And now you have the aftermath. You've got the corporate endorsements. You know, you have all the things that come with being a winner. Now, how are you managing all of this new... you know, pull on you and sort of this this new speed that you're having to deal with?
There, you know, a lot comes with winning the gold medal. You know, we prepared for it before. We knew a lot of stuff would happen, but this is what we play for. You know, it's been very tiring. I'm not going to lie to you. like I said, since Athens, the following weekend we had a Chicago tournament. After that, we had Las Vegas. Came back, we had 2 weeks off. We had a Hawaii event. And then this weekend, we finish up with Santa Barbara on October October 15th and 17th. So, you know, we're still going, and it's tough mentally and physically. But I keep a level head, and I don't get too wrapped up into what's happened. You know, we got invited to the Video Music Awards. We did the Emmys. So it's a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, it's worth it because we've worked so hard.
Yes.
But like I said, it's just you're getting pulled in so many directions that it can be tiring. And, you know, I'm not only doing the Olympics, I was training for the Olympics, trying to rehab an injury. You know, I have a house of my own, and then I'm going to get married in November.
Congratulations.
You know, so I have a lot of stuff on my plate. But, you know, I have a great, my fiance is great, and he's an athlete, so he keeps me level-headed. Everybody around me is very supportive.
That's great. I was actually, I had Matt on my list here. One of the things that, I'm appreciating how real you are. You say that you're a person that, you know, people don't know what's going on, but one of the comments about you and Matt was the fact that you both suffered tragedy and that you're willing to be real in front of each other and have your feelings.
Yeah. You know, we help out, you know, he's had some, you know, he's had a tough road as well, and we're able to talk about things, and I think that makes us so compatible, and, you know, we love spending time around each other. You know, we're the best of friends, and we, you know, we can share anything, and that's what you want.
I was just thinking, Missy, it has been reported that you still wanted to go ahead and earn your master's degree, and maybe after your volleyball career you might want to coach. Is that something that's still in the ranks?
Well, this is my fourth year as an assistant coach at Irvine Valley Junior College in Irvine, and I really enjoy coaching. I love teaching. I love, you know, seeing the girls' faces when they do something right, and I'm not yelling at them, and I'm applauding them.
Right.
but, no, it's just very, especially at the junior college level, you know, maybe sooner or later I'll move on to D1, but right now the junior college level, you know, it's just the players are there because they want to be. Either they lack a little skill and need the extra time or the extra reps, or they need help academically, you know, and, you know, getting their AA, and then they can go to a four-year. But, you know, my goal is to have everybody move on and have them graduate from college and make it fun for them, and that's what I want to do. So hopefully one day I can step in there. I'd like to get my master's because definitely to coach at that level, you know, you need your master's, but I think it would just be fun. You know, you miss school. While you're doing it, you're like, oh, I don't know if I would go back, but you miss out. You miss school.
Well, I saw that in 2003, you and Carrie were ranked second best in the world. And I was curious who the first ranked team was at that time.
I have no idea. Well, in 2003, we won the world championship. And I know that we are ranked first in a lot of the events, but sometimes it goes on points, and if we miss events or what, you know, if we miss events,
we
don't get as many points. And so I think it was Brazil that point-wise was ahead of us, but other than that, we were ranked number one.
Wow. Extremely good experience there. Are you being invited to make any movies or do any television shows or anything of that?
We did the Tonight Show. I will have a cameo appearance on the show Eve, I think December 21st. I got to go to the premiere of Friday Night Lights, and then we're going to maybe go to the premiere of this new movie coming out called Natural Treasure by Disney. So we get to do a lot of fun stuff like that. I think it's kind of winding down now, and, so we're still trying to, you know, my agent's still trying to work on a couple deals, and, you know, we want to get things rolling for next year, but it's been a fun ride.
Well, that's great, Misty. I wanted to just really thank you for your energy, your wonderful attitude, for the quality of human being that you are, and for the wonderful inspiration you are to young people. And thank you for being your best, for demonstrating your best, and for showing us what a real winner is like.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
We live. live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times? Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The diamond alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of diamond alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
I actually want you to know that I invite you to diamond alignment, and I invite you to greatness. Go to our website, wakinginupinamerica.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page, and you can see our sponsors. And you can put your little clicker right there next to the sponsors, right in the middle of the three sponsors that we show. We show Diamond Alignment. And these are divine transmissions. And you can go right over to the website, and you can get 2 minutes of these transmissions that will affect your energy field and help clear it at no charge. If you want to be a monthly visitor or a daily visitor over a monthly period of time, it's all there. Click in on wakinginupinamerica.com and go to Diamond Alignment at the very bottom of the page and start to change your energetic field effortlessly for no charge. If you just want 2 minutes of it, me, I want more. So I'm on the monthly program. And sometimes when things are just challenging for me, I'll get up and I'll just put on Diamond Alignment. If you listen to our show's library, you'll find, if you listen right around the half hour, you'll actually notice that the energy in the show shifts between the first half hour and the second half hour, and I'm totally convinced that it has to do with Diamond Alignment transmissions. Also down there, when you're looking at the bottom of the page there, you'll see the charming little haciendas that belong to Steve and Diana in San Pancho, Mexico, 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. It's robertosbungalows.com. All that information is right down there on the very bottom of the website on the right-hand side. And what you want to do is you want to shoot these guys an email. Visit them. They're absolutely terrific. Okay? Steve and Diana, San Pancho, Mexico, robertosbungalows.com. And that's R-O-B-E-R-T-O-S, bungalows.com. But in case you forget or you can't find a pen to write it down, just go to the website, and it's right there for you all the time. The other thing you really, if you have a business and you want to deal with some of the most grand, incredible customers in the world, what you want to do is you want to use Stardove's mailing list to advertise on. Now, Ra's an amazing human being, and the people that I've met through Stardove's, I've used it for 2 or 3 of my businesses, they're amazing people. Now, people say, give me 1 million people, and he'll do that. He'll give you 1 million people to get your ad on their desk, and that's pretty special. It's up to you to write the headlines to get the people to open up. He'll help you, but that's your part of the job. He can get you to 1 million people for under $100. Now, way under $100 if you buy more, and if you say that you came from Waking Up in America, then he'll even give you another discount because that's the kind of guy that Ra is. So there you go, Stardove's Diamond Alignment, visiting Mexico, wakinginupinamerica.com. Also, you may want to know that we have 2 other little things that we're mentioning on that website. One of them is the Koning Company. You can just go there for the link, and you can also click on the link, Directed Breath, and that's right next to the Willie Nelson picture towards the bottom of the page. So check them out. There's a lot of very special stuff happening here, including the fact that we are on the air with Gail Ellen, one of the organizers of the 1984 Olympics, and recently, again, a Taekwondo champion of the world, Mary Louise Zeller, and we're discussing possibility and aging and what makes a champion. And Mary Louise, how did that clip hit you?
Pardon?
When you listen to Misty May Trainer, you being the champion that you are those kind of your issues too?
When I look at being a champion, it's become a way of life. I'm sorry I didn't have the family background and support that she had, so it came much later in life for me. And I create that family of support for my children. But I know that that's a real important influence of, you know, of our Olympic athletes, is to have that family support. I saw it over and over again with Shawn Johnson, too, in gymnastics. And I cry when I see their parents cry when I realize the sacrifice of their families to support all these athletes. Mine came late in life, and I think mine is unique in that I had to actually think outside the box of what's possible in life at certain ages, and that life had not passed me by, that if I wanted it and was willing to do the work, I could do it.
At 45.
And I just saw that I had the dream in me, and I thought, well, why would I have this dream if it were impossible for me to do it? Why would this dream burn in me if it was impossible and I couldn't do it?
That's wonderful.
So I just interacted with it like it was possible. And I saw that the human body is not the limit. We stop playing hard. We make a living. We take care of our families. And we stop playing games. And I think probably the most important aspect of the Olympics is to play and play hard. You know, I watched, who was the young woman? Lola was her name, a track athlete. She ran hurdles, and I got to hear her story of how she lived in foster homes.
Gail would know.
Oh, man, that was so moving. And she had this brilliant run, and she was coming to the end of it, and she hit a hurdle and didn't even medal. She was fourth. And you know what she put into it. And even as disappointing and disheartening as that was, the real joy is playing the game. And I think the most important aspect of being fully alive, no matter what your age, is to play hard.
Let's find out. That sounds like really good advice. So, Gail, what would yours be? You've helped organize the Olympics in 1984. I don't know what your history was athletically before that.
Well, again, I was part of the committee. There were, you know, hundreds and thousands of people on that committee, but to make the games work. I grew up in Canada, and I was a swimmer and a skier. So, you know, I had certainly interest in what the Olympic Games were. I skied competitively, so I was kind of in the loop. I had family members that excelled as athletes, so I had sort of a feeling, a tone for it. But I wanted to point out, and just digress for a minute, another injury that cost China hugely, because he was about to defend his Olympic gold in Beijing, which was Yu Lang, Chinese hurdle star, who couldn't even, his Achilles was so severe that just before the gun went off, he just stepped down. He couldn't do it.
Yeah. What do you think about Paul Hamm? Didn't even make it because of injuries.
Yeah. So, but there are all kinds of stories where that has happened in the past and the athletes have come back.
But don't you remember when we did all the 2004 interviews? That was one of the common threads.
Right.
that they'd all have some kind of severe thing that they'd overcome.
Yeah, and I mean, Mary Louise is certainly someone who can talk about that because she's had that circumstance herself.
You know, what's interesting also, the comment you made, Mary Louise, about about family. Gail and I made that same, we got that same understanding as we interviewed, because we interview and we pretty much asked similar questions, and we would find out that they were, like, supported by their family at age two.
Well, what we found was the two threads was support from their family, and some of the family's mothers and fathers had three jobs so that they could support their vision and their dream. The other thing was a belief in God. Every single one of them had those two threads.
Okay, one more. They actually, the other one, they all of them, with the exception of you, started off demonstrating their skill at a very early age, sometimes like under three.
Right.
So these were extraordinary people from the get-go. And what's interesting is I think what we were pointing to is that we could bring a link here, is that you actually got a family later on in life that worked for you.
Yes, and the other thing to keep in mind is even though that is a perfect environment for producing champion, I would say it's not necessary. You can substitute. I have a Taekwondo family. I have a Taekwondo father. Grandmaster William Kim in Vallejo, California. When I walked in his door, I'm sure he didn't think, now here comes a champion. He probably was like, oh, my gosh. But he never interacted with me like I had no possibility. He always taught me and required of me and demanded of me what he did from the teenage boys. You know, here was this old middle-aged overweight woman, and I was supposed to leap about like a teenage boy.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I remember.
You know? And then my husband supported me. So you're right. I did invent and create a family for myself, just as the hurdler, Lolo, and I can't remember her last name, but, you know, she had foster families. Her mother couldn't support her, and she was constantly moving from place to place and house to house, and she goes, no, I need stability. Can you imagine a little child saying,
yeah, no, really,
I
love
stability.
It.
I'm going to find a family who can give me a stable environment so I can be an Olympic athlete. You know, so
and she did.
We can create it. And not only did I have the handicap of what's generally believed to be inevitable, decline of aging, but I had the same injuries that young people get. And I had an older body, and I had to just take on resolving every issue that came my way. You know, I've had a herniated disc in my back. I mean,
no, wait, you just got a world championship after a herniated disc.
That's right, and a herniated disc, everybody knows, is the end of your athletic career. And I had two bulging discs and one herniated. No, I went in search of breakthrough technology and science to help me heal it, and I did.
So we're going to tell them that in the last part of the hour, okay, what the breakthrough science and technology is. As you were listening to this conversation today, Gail, and I think Misty May and Carrie are going to be going for their second gold, and they've done like 104 competitions without losing one, or 107. It was 104
right.
When we actually wrote the thing, and
it's
they picked up three more.
Right.
So that's pretty darn amazing. Now, also, listeners may think we're younger than we are. I just turned 68 this weekend. How old are you, Mary Louise?
I'll be 65 in October. And in the Olympics in 2012, when they include Taekwondo forms and technique, I'll be 70 and I'll be there. Get your ticket.
It was very funny because we were sitting there watching the Taekwondo finals, you know. And I was asking her about a fifth degree black belt. Tell them how the black belts work. Like, you have to add years in between, so we were figuring how old you'd be by the time you were like a ninth degree.
Right. In between first and second degree is 1 year. In between second and it takes 2 to 3 years to get your black belt. Then you get your first degree, Your second degree in between second and third is 2 years, third and fourth, three, fourth and fifth, four, like that. And now in between fifth and sixth, I'm qualified to test for my sixth degree black belt in March, and I had to wait 5 years. So then you can go all the way up to ninth degree tested, and your tenth degree is awarded to you for making a difference, for your contribution to Taekwondo, often posthumously. Grandmaster Jun Ri is one of the few 10th degrees. He's considered to be the father of Taekwondo in the United States. He's 76.
He's 76, and he had a stroke or something, too, didn't he?
You know, this is exactly what I talk. Grandmaster Jun Ri had a heart defect. Now, you should know that for 45 years, he could do 1,000 push-ups a day. He did 1,000 push-ups a day, sets of 100. He can do a set of 100 push-ups in less than a minute. He has the world record in that domain. And he did 10 sets of 100 every day, so 1,000 push-ups a day, never missed a day in 45 years. Not his birthday, not New Year's Day, not Christmas Day. He never took a day off. He had a heart valve defect and had an emergency where that valve just quit working and had to have open heart surgery and have a heart valve replaced. Not unusual. He threw a clot to the brain and had a stroke after that surgery, a long surgery. And when I went to Washington, D.C. to see him and saw my hero and my mentor, who said he was going to live to be 136 because the oldest living human being was 135, yeah, and he was going to be vitally alive and strong with every breath of life and making a difference for people all over the world, no matter what his age, like that. To watch him drag his left leg and drag and have to lift his right arm up and have his mouth droop and have him slur his speech and think more slowly, I was like, all I could do not to be crying in his face. He went from that 3 years later, totally, totally rehabilitated himself. He can now do his push-ups again when he couldn't lift his arm, you know, just under his own power. He can now do his push-ups again.
Wow.
He can balance on one leg and hold one leg up in the air in a front snap kick. I mean, I can't even imagine with that life dealing you that blow and that you could stand in the face of it and regenerate being a champion and a hero.
Yeah. You know, Gail, I'm wondering, how old do you think you're going to be? Or do you have? I think I'm going to be 128. Are you there? Did we lose Gail?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well.
I wonder where she is.
I haven't got any clue how long I'm going to live, but I do want to say, Grandmaster says something, Valerie. He says, I always take action to make good things happen.
Oh, that's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just give people a little bit of a heads up here. And after I do this, I'm actually going to come back and I'm going to find out exactly how it is that Mary Louise does all of this and what's been happening here. So check out Stardust once again on our website, their New Age mailing list. They've got a million people for you to send to. Their telephone number is 505-770-5426. That's 505-770-5426. Then check out Roberto's Bungalows, just 45 minutes north of San Pancho, Mexico. Charming, near the beach. Tell them that we sent you. You get a discount. That's 971-239-4120. Visit our website at wakinguponamerica.com and click on Race for the Rainforest. And when you get inside there, you'll see that you have the opportunity to actually select Marine Wetlands, American Prairie, or Rainforest. When you click on that, there'll be a way for you to log in, too. This is our login here. So check that out. And right now, I'm going to ask Mary Louise if she'll kind of let people know what the vitamin regime is, and the regime is that you actually go for your health, and I'm going to see if I can find our co-host.
Well, of course I don't do anything that would rob me of health and power, like smoking, drinking, and all those things. So I just don't do them. I don't even drink Coca-Colas or carbonated drinks. If you were ever to investigate the damage that Coca-Cola does to your blood, even that alone, you know, you'd never ever drink another one. And I was as addicted to Coke as an ex, my Diet Cokes. So I don't do things that rob me of power. I do eat food as close to its natural state as I possibly can. And in other words, as you age, you tend to not have as much enzyme. So you can get enzymes from plants, and so I eat raw foods. And
that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, raw vegetables and fruit.
Let me just check with Gail for a moment. Gail, do you do raw foods too, don't you? I know she's there.
Something's the matter. Maybe she's on mute.
Maybe she's on mute. But
it's the mute button, Gail.
So make yourself known when you. We get bounced off the bridge sometimes. I'm telling you, we are challenged. I've had FedEx trucks show up when I was interviewing Terry Cole Whitaker. Her kitchen caught on fire. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, people get addicted and people have bad habits, and you can, if you have a bigger commitment than your indulgence, you can be the master of the bad habits and replace them with good habits. That, you know, live food produces life. And so I do eat well. And I do supplement. I think as you age, supplementation, actually, the worst thing you can say to me is that I have really good genetics. And I go,
uh-huh.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I know some of your genetics come in a bottle, because I know you do Monavie, and I know you do the Max products.
Yes.
And I know you do adaptogens.
Yes.
Is there anything else you do?
I do a good liquid vitamin. I buy it online.
Oh, yeah, that is a good. I use that too.
A vitamin mineral supplement. It's called Buried Treasure VM for vitamin mineral -100, and it's got literally 100 vitamins and minerals in a liquid form, which is easily absorbed. You can buy it at a health food store and pay twice as much, or you can go to Vitacost.com and get it for half price.
Yeah, that's really pretty good. Or you can call us.
And then the Max GXL is a glutathione product. You can literally go to MaxGXL.com and read about the glutathione. The glutathione is necessary for all cell function and energy. So
actually, I think they should call me up.
I think they should, too.
Yeah, I really totally do. And you know what I'll do?
Email them all sorts of...
Well, they could. No, I was actually thinking I could set up an interview with you.
Oh, that would be great.
I think you'd do that.
I'll coach them. You're serious?
Yeah.
You want to have a great life and have a body that can do your dreams no matter how old you are? I'll coach you.
Yeah, so we'll put you in a conversation. We'll walk you through this material. I'll walk you through the Monavie stuff. We'll show you the Max GXL stuff.
Yep.
And you can ask Mary Louise a specific question in reference to what it is that you need or want, and we'll do the best that we can with you. But we really believe that we're putting together an ultimate package here, and ultimately I hope Gail Ilden is back by now. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, right. So one of the things we were talking about, Gail, was we were all talking about different ages. I think I'm going to be 128.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, ever since I was a kid, I thought I'd live to be 128.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas, like, how long you're going to live, or what do you do for your health?
I don't, because I'm out of the myth of aging. I'm just into winning the second half.
So you love that, Mary Louise?
Yeah, Gail has done a course with my husband, who actually is 75, and runs 100-mile races and all sorts of...
Well, actually, Badwater's more, isn't it?
Pardon?
Isn't Badwater more than 100?
Yeah, it's 130, I think.
Yeah.
In the desert in 120 degrees.
He is crazy. You forgot to mention your husband is crazy.
Oh, totally nuts. And but anyway, he and I have developed and lead a course that we do at our home here in Sundance, Utah, called the Phoenix Event. And we spell Phoenix, F, like Frank, E-N-I-X, you know, the way it should be spelled.
Right. The French way.
Yeah, so you can go to thephoenixevent.com. And just as important as a protocol is to take care of the biological aspect of youthing.
Uh-huh.
Notice we don't have that word in our vocabulary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk about fighting against aging. I'd rather say youthing.
No, I like that. That's
yeah.
Pretty good. I'd like to actually hear from Gail. We've only got a few minutes left in the show. And you have an enormous span of time that you've been paying attention to championship and winning the second half, you know, all the gold medalists we've interviewed, God, like maybe 10 or 15. And you've listened to this show. Where, you know, how is this touching you? What's happening for you?
Well, it's just validating this whole philosophy of life that Mary Louise is bringing up. And it's just really maintaining all of those things for prolonged longevity.
Yeah, well, what we've been told is a lie, Gail.
Yep.
We've been sold a lie. We've been pre-programmed for death. We're being given drugs with no special meaning for our old age, right? We don't have to have the old age.
You age. You don't have to get old.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the key.
There.
That is the key.
So I know you take Monavie, I know I take Monavie, and I know Mary Louise takes Monavie, and that
yep.
to me is perfect food. Max GXL, the glutathione accelerator, and the WLX, which is leptin and adiponectin, right, Mary Louise?
Yeah, it helps you lose body fat. I've lost 15 pounds and 3 inches each off my hips, my waist, and my tummy, and I think it's on the moon. I love it.
Yeah, but you want to know what? I didn't. I took the stuff. I didn't lose 15 pounds. I don't have the same regime that she has, but I actually ran out of the stuff, and I realized how bad I felt, and I had a friend drive down a bottle for me for my birthday.
Aww.
So that I could have a great birthday, and I did. And I carefully protect. I've been waiting for my stuff to come.
Yeah, most people had greater weight loss and fat loss the second month because it literally changes your biochemistry. It de-ages your own biochemistry and the way in which your body deals with fat.
Okay, well, now, somebody like your husband and Gail are really beautifully proportioned. If you take a look at Gail Ellen, you'll see, Gail, you've done a lot of raw food. I mean, you look like one of the healthiest humans I've ever laid eyes on.
Well, I work at it. It's a commitment to me. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Would you share your process of working on your commitment?
It's just that my body is a temple, and I want to take care of it. And I've discovered through the years, and I've had a lot of mentors. Mary Louise is one of them, where I've learned things. I've learned what works for me, and I do it. But you have to be consistent about it. And
yeah, you do.
I go to people who I trust, who I know have done the research, know the science behind it. Then I try it, and I stay with it because there's no other option. It's a philosophy of life for me. And I do have like what is called a muscular body, a swimmer's body, but and I'm very strong. My son and my daughter, who are 38, 40, we go on hikes, and they like can't keep up with
me. Oh, that's satisfying, isn't it? To know that the work you've done is so good.
Well, it's really just to be a model for them too.
Yeah, but the simple fact is that was just a wonderful side benefit.
Right.
What you did was you took care of yourself in all the ways that is. And we all went to a birthday party, Julie Newmar's birthday party on Saturday night, and Julie Newmar even commented how great Gail looks, because she doesn't just have a good body; she dresses beautifully too. We had a blast. We all stayed up late, and I thank Monavie for that.
You know, Val, it's also you know me. I love to bring beauty to the world, and that is my commitment. And in that, it is reflecting what that is, inner and outer, all the time.
Well, you know, this is pretty cute, Gail, because I love to bring aliveness. Okay, and so. That's a good combination here to bring aliveness and to bring beauty. And Mary Louise, before we sign off, what's your commitment to the world?
To inspire people to their own greatness that lives in each and every one of us, to taking the action to access that, to believe in yourself, and just go play hard in life.
This program has been brought to you by the Golden Heart Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoneenCompany.com, MonaVie, MaxGXL, Dr. James Murphy and Memoriam, Nathan Jett, Rich Kepler, and Jeff Spinard, and the team at Voice America, and to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, and to you, Harry, for doing a great job today, and to Pete, you were just outrageously wonderful. And he's our CTO. And next week, invite a friend to listen and write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. And remember, Sidious, Altius, Fortius, and going for it.
With extraordinary plans.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.